We are doing Sefer Ma'asiyot, we are doing the additions, the addendums, so to speak. And Rav Nissim Gaon has been explaining different verses that are difficult to understand, why the Torah would bother telling us. And he's continuing, he says, once we've started, we'll explain a few more, we'll get a little bit more sahar. So he says, he quotes Rav Shimon ben Lakish, that says there are many verses that on the surface of things, it seems like you could easily burn them out as though they're Midianite works. And in truth, they are essential to the Torah and they have deep, important meanings. For example, there's a verse that says, Ha'avim ha'yoshvim b'chatzirim. There was a nation called Avim. They lived in Chatzirim, and the nation Kaphtorim came and defeated them and destroyed them. And then we went and captured it from the nation Kaphtorim. Why is that of any importance? So that pasuk is telling us that we maintained our end of the treaty. When Avraham met with Avimelech, the Philistine king, they made a treaty that for three generations they wouldn't attack one another. Now these Avim were descendants of Avimelech. So in essence, we could not attack them. We find that when the verse lists the five heads, the five governors of the Philistines, one of them is the Avim. So the pasuk is telling us, even though the Avim inhabited the area of Chatzirim down to Aza, but you might ask, then how did we conquer that territory? How did we attack them? We had a treaty with the Philistines, we would not attack them. So that's why the verse in the Torah has to tell us that when we came to the land of Israel, the Avim no longer inhabited that area. The Kaphtorim had already attacked the Avim and captured it, and we had no problem taking it from the Kaphtorim. But that's why the Torah has to give us the history, so when we read it, if we know that the Avim used to live there, we might think, did we annul the treaty? Did we go against our promise? So the Torah tells us, no. That's why the Torah gives us those few words telling us the history of how that land was inhabited. Yeah, same thing. We have a pasuk that discusses Cheshbon. That Cheshbon used to be a city of the Moabites, and then it was captured by Sichon. Why does the Torah have to tell us that? Because we know the Torah commands us, do not lay siege on the Moabites. Do not attack them, the Torah says. So therefore the Torah has to tell us that even though the city of Cheshbon initially belonged to the Moabites, the reason we were able to conquer it is because when we showed up on the scene, the king Sichon had already captured it from the Moabites. So therefore we were able to take that territory because it was no longer in the hands of the Moabites. And if you might ask, why did God prohibit fighting the Moabites? And when it came to the Ammonites, God said, not only don't fight them, but don't afflict them. Don't do anything that's bothersome to them. So our sages taught us that we know the Moabites and the Ammonites both came from a situation of incest. Lot lived with his two daughters. It was a mistake, but bottom line, there was incest. The older daughter named her child Moav, which literally means from the father. She wasn't shamed by the fact that the child was a product of incest. So therefore Hashem says, that nation, the Moabites, don't attack them. There's Rus, the Moabite, that's still supposed to come from them. But God doesn't tell us you have to take extra care not to, that they shouldn't be bothered by your passing by. The younger daughter, she said it in a more modest way. She called her son Ben-Ami, son of my nation. So she covered up the fact that he was really a product of incest. So therefore God says she was extra modest. God says you guys be extra careful that they don't suffer from your passing by. And our sages taught us one has to be extra careful not to say something that is improper. Now, the Torah, according to one opinion, the Torah added 8 extra letters in one instance. Another opinion points out another instance where there are 9. Another opinion points out 10 extra letters. Another opinion points out 16 extra letters that the Torah used to illustrate this point that sometimes you got to speak a little bit more, but at least you'll say the things in a way that's more clean. The Torah doesn't say the animal that is tamei, but rather the Torah says the beima sherei nena Torah, the animal that's not pure. When the Torah describes a person that had a wet dream, a person, so the Torah doesn't say he emitted sperm. The Torah says a person isn't tahor because of an occurrence that happened at night. The Torah uses a finer language. When King Saul sees that David doesn't attend the breakfast in honor of Rosh Chodesh, he says, oh, maybe an occurrence happened that he isn't pure. He doesn't say maybe he was with his wife last night and that's why he isn't pure. So that's why our sages told us a person has to be extra careful how he speaks. Rav Chanan bar Rava said, everyone knows why a kala enters the chuppah. Everyone knows what's going to happen tonight after the chuppah. But if anyone says it, so that's called speaking nevala, speaking nivlut peh, speaking in a fashion that's unclean. And our sages say if one speaks that way, then even if in heaven they had already decreed that he would have 70 years of good, they overturn it. And our sages said not only is it prohibited for a person to speak in an uncleanly fashion, a person shouldn't hear it either. Our sages say that's why our fingers are fashioned like spokes, they come to a point in the end. Why are they thinner in the end? So a person could put them in his ears, not to hear something. Why is it that the bottom of the earlobe is soft, so a person could fold it into his ear and not hear things that he shouldn't hear? So our sages said a person has to be careful not to say things that, or not even to hear things that are improper. Nivala, nivul peh. Right. Nivala, nivul peh. Nivul is a film. Now Rav Nissim Gaon goes back to the point he was making. Why does the Torah tell us that the city of Hermon in Sidoni territory up in the north, the non-Jews named it, one nation called it Sinir and the other nation called it Sirion? What do I care what they call their city? So the Torah is telling us something very important, that really in the land of Israel there was a city of Sinir and a city of Sirion, and the Sidonim, they wanted to take pride, so they renamed their city Sirion, Sinir. You go throughout the United States, there are cities named Bethlehem, there are cities named Jerusalem, there's Jerusalem, New Jersey. Why? Because they take pride. I could say I live in a city, in a town named Jerusalem. So the same thing was around in the time of the Torah. That's why the Torah bothers mentioning that Sidonim would call their city Hermon, Sirion. And the Amori called the city Sinir. Why? It's not a city in Israel. It's not Sinir, not Sirion. Yeah, but they're naming it after cities in Israel. That was a way of taking pride. That was how important the land of Israel was in the eyes of the nation. And so too, the Pasuk tells us that Yosef took the nation of Egypt, and when he had control of the nation, so they reached a point where everyone said, you run the show, we wouldn't live if not for you. Please sustain us. And Yosef said, fine. And he moved the nation from city to city and gave them plots of land to work. So our sages say the reason he did this is because his brothers came in as foreigners. So everyone looked at them, you guys are the newcomers in town. Yosef said, oh yeah, I'll make you all into newcomers. He moved around all of Egypt. Everyone lived. Now everyone was newcomers. Our sages tell us that if a person has a blemish, he shouldn't say it to his friend. Our sages say if a person has a relative hanging on a tree, he shouldn't tell someone else, why don't you go hang the fish for me? Because the second he says the word hang, everyone automatically thinks about his relative that's hanging. So when a person has something at fault of his own, he has to take extra care not to say that fault about others. Our sages tell us even about the names in Tanakh, that the names teach us things. Why is Yitzchak called Yitzchak? The Yud corresponds to the 10 tests of Abraham. The Tzadi, the 90 years that Sarah had aged when she gave birth him. The Ches is that he was the first one that had a circumcision at 8 days old. And the Kuf, because Abraham was 100 years old when Yitzchak was born. Yaakov, the Yud corresponds to the fact that he gave off a tip, he gave off a 10. The Ayin corresponds to the 70 members of his family that descended to Egypt with him. The Kuf corresponds to the 100 letters in the blessing, V'yiten Lecha, and then he explains how you do the math, that it comes out, doesn't work. Very often our sages give us numbers, and they don't work, and then they work on explaining to us how they're supposed to work. And the Beis is because he has a portion in two worlds, this world and the world to come. And even in the Mishnah we find that Chazal were very careful. Do you say Hanizonet or Nizonet? Eino Muad or Eino Muad? We find that Chazal were very careful as to what each word, even in the Mishnah, each letter they were careful about. Do we say Vikitnis or not? So the Gemara discusses that Vav in the Mishnah, one letter. And then he goes into explaining what they said. Our sages tell us on the verse, Lo davar reik hu mikim. The Torah doesn't even have one letter that's superfluous, and every little note in the Torah teaches us something. Even the notes we have in the parsha, Vayhi bimtsa Aharon, so we know we have connotations over there, we have upside down nuns. So our sages say that's to tell us this whole section doesn't belong here. God placed it here to separate between two bad things that happened, but really it belongs in the story where we have the complete description of how they came. So it should give the description of how the Aharon moved. So the point Rav Nissen Gaon is telling us is we have to know that there are elevated reasons, and there are many reasons, and we cannot attain the complete truth, but we know Torah Hashem Tmima, Hashem's Torah is complete, and it is truthful, and praised is he who succeeds in it, as the verse says in Mishlei, Ashrei Adam Matzah Chochmah, praised is the man that found wisdom, and the man that can take out understanding.